Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
63 people have died on our roads so far this year, leading to calls for tougher policing, more spending on road infrastructure and new types of speed cameras. But what is going wrong and what can be done to reverse the trend? Well, I'm joined now by a man who has attended hundreds of road accidents over his 30-year career as a paramedic and a firefighter before his recent retirement. Peter White, you're very welcome to the show.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not at all. Delighted to have you. And we're also joined by Labour Party TD for Tipperary and former Minister Alan Kelly. Good morning, Alan, and thank you for being with us too.
Morning, Claire.
Now, Peter, I want to talk to you first because we often hear about speeding and drink driving as the main causes of accidents. Was that the case in your experience?
It would have been the case in the majority of cases, but not to the extent that I think it's been pushed over the last couple of years. I think there's an awful lot more involved in that. For example, you know, people could make the arguments that there's people speeding on the M50 every day. You have 100,000 drivers. Most of them are doing probably 80 kilometres an hour or over. And how many fatalities have we had on the M50? You could make the same argument about the M7. You know, I drive on the M7. I put my car in cruise control at 120 kilometres an hour, 110. And I still see drivers going past me the whole time, doing 140, 150 kilometres an hour. Now, you kind of think to yourself, well, I'm bound to meet them further down the line to be an accident or something, and you don't. And apart from the enforcement, it just, I think speed in the wrong conditions is the main issue. And when I was thinking about the M50 and the M7, I was actually thinking about, you know, road conditions in other parts of the country where the roads aren't as good. And that got me to thinking then about the councils. And you never hear of a councillor or a council being prosecuted in the case of an accident. We hear the figures afterwards about speed, but we don't, we're never told about the conditions of that road, whether the roads are in bad condition. We've heard recently of accidents in black spots, and you have to wonder why these aren't dealt with.
So for you, now, there's an issue around the condition of roads, and I want to bring Alan Kelly in here because I know you're concerned, Alan, about the impact of the bad weather that we've had recently, all the rain, on the standard of roads around the country, particularly rural roads.
Yeah, my issue, Claire, which I think has gotten lost in the whole debate, and I actually welcome very much what Peter said on travelling the M7 and M50 later on today myself. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have as much concern about an accident there as I would of getting to the actual motorway.
But there are accidents on motorways. I know most of the accidents happen on rural roads, but, you know, just so people are aware.
But my issue is proportionality of the discussion.
Yeah.
The $658 million going to roads this year. And to be honest with you, it's not going to get within the NASA's roar of what is required on regional and local roads, Claire. I mean, the last 9 months, we all know, you've talked about incessantly, the last 9 months have been horrendous. I am the son of, my father worked on the council on the roads for decades. He has never seen how bad as they are now, and he's retired, obviously. He's never seen how bad they are. And I understand the council under so much pressure, it's impossible for them to do all the local roads. But regional roads, these are fairly significant roads, and they're destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And the fact is that now, hopefully, the weather is improving because it would have been a waste of time doing a lot of the work up until now with the incessant rain. But the amount of resources required really has to be looked at by Eamon Ryan and this government, because we need far more funding, we need far more resources, we need more people hired by the councils, we need more contractors to come in, we need all the accident spots that we know of, or, well, if the data will be shared, we need all of these areas to be dealt with, and dealt with pretty quickly over the coming months, because ultimately this is an issue that is really, really concerning. Everybody's talking about it down around the country. Everybody knows that the roads are in such disrepair. And I have had conversations with council workers, engineers, and with An Garda Síochána, where accidents could have been avoided if this work would be done. And unfortunately, I don't see there's a comprehensive plan to do it.
Okay, another issue I want to talk to Peter about now. I know you've attended in your over your career accidents involving cyclists, unfortunately, and some of those accidents were fatal. And you're a cyclist yourself. What are the things, Peter, that cyclists and other road users need to change to make the roads safer for people who are out on the bike?
Well, Claire, I think that an attitude change from everybody is needed. I think cyclists and pedestrians have a tendency to blame motorists for an awful lot of the woes on our road. Now, where I live now, I possibly drive the car once every 3 weeks. I'm on the bike. I came down off the Connor Pass this morning. I was on the Connor Pass on the bike at 7:30 this morning. You know, when I used to cycle, say, when I walked from, I lived in Portmarnock and I walked in Dunleary Fire Station. I would cycle over there and it took me an hour to get over there. And I'd be travelling through the docks at half six in the morning where all the trucks were coming off the boats. Now, I was saying to myself, I have to make myself as visible as possible. I mean, it's my life, and it's not much consolation if I'm involved in an incident or an accident, and I turn around later and say, "Well, the motorist was to blame." That doesn't help me out then, because I've been injured as a result of an accident. So, you know, I used to have two or three lights in the back of my bike, a light in the front, a light in my helmet. I used to have a helmet on, a high vis jacket, and you know. We all have to take responsibility for ourselves and say we want to keep ourselves safe. It's the same for a pedestrian on the road, especially on the rural roads. Wear a high-vis jacket. You can get them free in the Garda stations. The RSI has boxes of them in all the Garda stations. You can walk in, just pick one up and wear it while you're walking.
Yeah, but you were extra sensitive about the lights on the bike, because you had a run-in with a guard, didn't you, when you were very young, about lights on the bike?
I did. I grew up in Merino, and when I was about 15 or 16, I was cycling home and it was just getting dark, and I was actually in Merino, so I was on a quiet road, and two guards came up behind me in a Garda car, and they were stationed in Clontarf, and they stopped me, asked me if I hadn't got a light on my bike. I can't remember what I said. They took the bike from me, put it in the boot of the car, took it back to Clontarf Garda station and told me to come back in a week and collect it. Now, I'd like to ask the Garda Commissioner, when was the last time any guard did that? Mm-hmm. You know, we've road traffic laws there and bylaws. You have to have lights on your bike. When we used to speed out on an incident, say from Foods where I walked previously, we could be coming back from something that's 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I can guarantee you, Claire, that 10% of the cyclists had lights on their bikes. The vast majority didn't. And we're in a big fire truck and you'd see them in the last second, because they're nearly always dressed in black.
Yeah, so dangerous. Just on the policing, yeah. Alan, Drew Harris, we know, has instructed now that all uniformed and Gardaí should be out for 30 minutes of their shift engaged in high visibility road policing. Is that going to work?
Claire, I know hundreds of Gardaí. I represent Templemore. They're laughing like this. It's actually laughable, because many of them are doing it anyway. But they're so covered up with regulation and red tape that the idea that this is in some way going to happen and enforceable, I mean, they're just throwing their eyes to heaven when they heard this. I'm being deadly serious.
What is it they're saying? This is the logistics about around it. Like, by the time you get out, do your half hour, get back in.
Well, exactly that. And also, they're all tied up with so much else and they don't have the resources and all of that. There's also another broader issue, Claire. The motivation of an Garda Síochána, some brilliant people, obviously, but they need to know that the Commissioner has their back in relation to issues. We know very much high-profile issues that have gone on in an Garda Síochána in recent months. I live in the Midwest. I know a lot about these issues. And, you know, they're concerned that if they're engaged in some form of pursuits or other issues that are road-related, that, you know, there will be issues down the line for them. So there's a whole issue here of supporting an Garda Síochána, giving them encouragement, making sure you have their back and the Commissioner has their back. And when it comes out then with these kind of abstract, because Prime Time are doing a programme on this issue, abstract, like everyone has to do a half an hour, like, it doesn't fill the Gardaí with confidence. It doesn't give them belief that there is a plan in place. And they just throw their eyes to heaven at this sort of stuff.
All right, well, look, we'll leave it there for now. Alan Kelly, Labour Party TD for Tipperary, and Peter White, retired firefighter and paramedic, on the issue of increasing road deaths on our roads right around the country.